Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And we have been taking our time going through chapter 4 as well as we should. And we are going to read verse 8. So Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." It is no mystery that a lot of our problems stem from what goes on between our ears. Negative thinking is a terrible deal. When God has given us so much to think on, when God has given us so many answers to our questions and so many solutions to our problems within His Word, we have no right to tinker with the things of this world. We have no right to let these things bug us, bother us, and bring us down. You can often see that in a person's deportment, in the way that they're acting. They had heard something. They had been a part of a conversation. They'd seen something that deeply troubled them. How often is it you're walking through your day and you're thinking of something serious? Have you ever thought about your face? In our house, we call it the subtitles. Your face, your mouth could be doing one thing. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Thank you for asking.
Man, your face tells what you're really thinking. And sometimes we can put that mask on, but every now and then we forget to put it back on, and it'll tell on us. We'll come into a situation, and maybe we had an argument out there in the car. We'll come into church, and ha-ha, we'll smile. But there's rottenness in the mind. Whether you can hide it or whether you can't, it doesn't matter. If we have intense negativity, if we have sin on the mind, if we have selfishness on the brain, you're going to be miserable. And what we need instead is these things that have been listed. This is what is good for us as far as our mind. We just got done talking. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The very next breath is what? "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are," number one, "true." Whatsoever things are true. What we think about matters. Consider this for a second. You ever get a brand new pair of shoes? You get a brand new pair of shoes. What do you not do? You don't go out stomping around in the mud, do you? You're very careful for a spell, aren't you? Just, all right, no, I'm not wearing my new shoes today. It's raining. It's too snowy for my brand new shoes. You go out, you wash your car. I bet you avoid dirt roads for a while, don't you? At least for the day. Now, some of you, if you have a dirt road, you don't have any options. But I'm not going down that road. My dad used to do that. I'm not going down there. Dad, why? As a dirt road, I just washed the car, son. All right, Dad, just drop me off in the corner, I guess. I don't know what to tell you. You know, we're careful of things. You get a brand new couch. You put something over it. You don't let the dog on it. You don't let the kids on it. You protect it. We, however, just leave our brains to flop around all over the place. Almost like a lint catcher, catching every bit of garbage we can potentially have. We roll that brain through worldly music. We roll that brain through just anger and bitterness and jealousy. Man, we roll that brain over everything, and then we sit there and we wonder, why am I so grumpy? Why am I so upset? And it doesn't matter what good is happening in our lives. If we have allowed the devil into our mind by participating and thinking on things that are no good, he'll get the best of us. You'll find yourself down in the dumps even though everything is going well. Parent took their child out to a great day for their birthday. Just got him up early in the morning and took him into the restaurant, got him a big old stack of pancakes. All the stuff that you would put on there if you didn't have adult onset type 2 diabetes, right? Whipped cream, sprinkles, tons of syrup, and the kid said, oh boy, and gobbled it on up, and hey, listen, we're going to go to the petting zoo. Oh, that's wonderful. Took them to the petting zoo, and they pet all the wonderful things, and then they went on over to the amusement park, and they rode on rides, and oh, the kid was having such a wonderful time, and then as they were coming home, they, where do you want to eat, son? Oh, Dad, I'd like to eat over here. So they take him to that restaurant, and they bring him on home, and all of his friends are there at the house, and they're opening presents, and they're running through the house screaming as you do at a child's birthday party. And the kid goes, Dad, can my best buddy come and spend the night? Well, no, we got to leave early in the morning. Tomorrow's a work day. You cannot have anybody spend the night. You could be on cloud 9. And if your mind's not right, you'll fall flatter than flat. We need the proper things in our mind. Number one, we need to consider and think on things that are true. That word true there, it speaks of accuracy. I've often said this, you cannot be right. You can be accurate, but you can't be right. You can be righteous, but you yourself cannot be right. Why? Because truth does not come from inside you, right? It does not come from inside of us. As it said that these words that were spoken, they were not spoken by men, but holy men of old said the things that the Holy Spirit inspired them or moved them to say. This word, we can be accurate to it, we can be righteous by it, but we ourselves do not decide truth. Right? So many people, they think that. I don't know when that started to happen, but we think that because we can assume really good, that makes us inherently right. That is a fallacy. I've met far too many people that without thinking, without learning, without studying, they believe themselves to be established in the Word of God, or they believe themselves to be right just because of how they feel about a thing. Your feelings aren't knowledge. Your assumptions cannot be true. You could guess real good, but your assumptions won't become truth because it's you that assumed it. We need what is true. We need truth. And that truth we find in the Word of God. We must have accuracy. We must think on things that are true. Ever believe a lie? Ever believe a lie and you get all caught up in it? I heard this one time in passing. Therefore, it must be the truth. Some guy I liked real well said this. Therefore, it must be true. We get into a lot of trouble with that in religion, don't we? Man, a lot of books written on religion. And because the person sold so many copies or made such a good argument, so often people go, well, if he said it, and he said it so wonderfully, it must be true. And you think on those things, and then they fail you, and then all of a sudden your faith is in shambles. Happens all the time. These big-time book writers, man, they sell hundreds of thousands of copies of their book. Finds out they either had an affair on their wife, they were embezzling from their church, some dirty thing was happening behind, and all of a sudden a bunch of people sit around going, oh man, I don't even know if I believe in God anymore. What a terrible... We must think on things that are true. Man is either inaccuracy with the Word of God, or he's inaccurate with the Word of God. And we must think on the things that are true. We do not get the truth from assumptions or smart people. We get the truth instead by the Word of God. And a smart man, a smart woman will see the discrepancies between their thought process and what God says to do, and they will change to match it. That word accurate, that word true also means legitimate. Is this real? Is this worth it? Does it have value? Those are the things that we think about. That is what we ponder over. And folks, you will not find anything more true than the Word of God. We must study it. We must know it. And not just study it, but study it to apply it. You must be looking for things to put into your life. We must be thinking along those lines, or else what do? We make wrecks of ourselves. making guesses, and we end up picking fights with each other. Why? Because we don't know what the Word of God says, and we allow bitterness where there is no bitterness, and we practice the wrong things. And all of a sudden, there it is, that anger. There it is, that bitterness. There's that disquiet in the mind. Well, of course it's disquieted. You believe the wrong thing. You found out it wasn't true. You ever have that game played on you? Maybe some older man in your life told you when you were a kid, we're going to go on a snipe hunt. I did that to Xander and Caspian. Caspian has yet to forgive me. Nobody looked harder for snipe than he did. Xander, the trickster he is, went downstairs, Googled the thing. He just comes up and he sits down in the chair next to me and he stares at me with that knowing look of his. If you've never seen it, it's something. He stared at me. Why would he be upset? Because he believed something that wasn't true. Of course you're upset. Why is it that we see out there these people that lead their own movements and they pervert the Word of God? Why do you see so much unrest, unhappiness? Why do you see an inefficacy in what they believe? Because they don't believe the truth. Truth does not come by man. Truth does not come by opinion. Truth comes from the Word alone. It is why you, me, and everybody must be good students of it, or you will not find peace. We see the next thing in the line. whatsoever things are honest. Well, brother, is that not the same as true? You got to remember, we have abused this English language. That word honest doesn't necessarily mean just somebody that tells the truth, although it is still very close. The word closest there that we could even come to alongside honest as something that would mean the same thesaurus word, if you don't mind. The closest thesaurus word to the word honest would be venerable. In this case, venerable. The word honest was the right word to use in the moment. I'm not correcting the book. The word honest was right, but we perverted the word honest. We've diluted it. It no longer has all the meanings that it used to in our common use of it. But something that commands a great deal of respect. Our thoughts must be on things that command respect. There are too many goofy things going on in this world. There are too many unreal things going on in this world. And what we do is we give attention to it and we get all bogged down by it. Not that we should stick our head in the sand, but there's just useless things we ought not to pay attention to. You find a lot of it on the internet. I can't remember how many trillions of hours there must be of just recordings or minutes or however they measure it. How much recorded nonsense is out there on the internet? Of just people spouting nonsense, not respectable things, goofy things. You turn on the television and you've got people out there. Their main thing is just to be coarse, just to be disgusting, just to be not politically correct. And that's their humor. It's toilet humor. It's garbage humor. They use words you're not supposed to use in common public. And people of a more pure all mind go, hee, 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 ha, 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 isn't that funny? They talked of a natural bodily function. Hee, 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 ha, ha, ha. They joked about the marital act. Hee, 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 ha, ha, ha. These are useless things. They do not command our respect. We see so much in this world that they venerate, they hold high, that is not venerable. That they lift up high. Oh, isn't this comedian hilarious? I don't know. What have they ever done? Well, isn't this politician? Isn't this social influencer? Isn't this person who's gone out and done all? Aren't they wonderful? I don't know. Is there any honor to them? Is there any respect to them? Could you sit there and have a decent conversation with them? Or is it going to be toilet humor the whole time? We must think on the things that command a great deal of respect. And again, we turn to God. My God commands my respect. My thoughts and mind must never be too far from him. Well, what about so and so? What about this politician? What about that person on the TV? Doesn't that just bother you? Listen, at this point, we got to let this stuff just bother us a little bit. Bother us a little bit. I told you about that mouse that got into our house. We haven't seen one since. But you know what? There are some people in my house more worried about the mice than I am. You know how I can tell? that trash started to get taken out real quick. We went from, all right, kids, come over here and get your stuff put away, to stuff being put away real fast. One of them going, I'm going to do the dishes now. And I finally had to stop. Listen, I appreciate the hustle. What's going on? We don't want the mice to come back. And I said, well, good on you, man. Go ahead. Some of us, we worry about the things of this world as though God ain't bigger. I'm going to look at you as though there's something I got to do there. Right? I'm not voting for you. I'm voting for you. I'm not giving any time to you. I'm giving time to you. Right? We got to make decisions based on these things. But some of us, we get way too concerned to where we are always thinking about them. We're always thinking about the conditions and the people. And instead, let us think on God. And if we think on God and we are watching the things that command great amounts of respect, we will know what to do with the things that deserve none of our respect. We will know what to do with the things that are silly fluff and matter nothing. And we will have a proper perspective because we will see, for as high as God is, how little the things of this earth are. When we see, think of something honest, we must also think of something that is as it seems. It is as it seems. The devil's really good at creating and giving us things that aren't what they seem. As a matter of fact, we have a hard time with it. I said a few weeks ago that if the lion, that roaring lion that seeketh whom it may devour, looked like a lion, we would have an easier time with it. If the wolves looked like wolves, we'd have no problem whatsoever. They'd come in, they would say, hey, little pigs, let me in. And we would say, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And we would say, as a wolf, we don't let those in. As a wolf, we don't go nowhere with them. That is somebody who is seeking chaos, and I'll have none of it. But they don't look like that. They look like us. And they sound like us. At what age were you when you realized that all the people who did the things that your mom and dad told you were bad? At what age did you realize that they actually had nice personalities, some of them? That's the problem, isn't it? Oh, no, I can't drink. People who drink, oh, no, I would never. And then you meet people who would drink, and you would go, hey, these are lively and fun people. Oh, don't do drugs. Drugs will ruin your life, man. That'll trash you up. And you go out with them, and you go, hey, these are guys are funny. These guys are nice. These guys are kind. And we realize that sinners aren't what we think they are, the wolves with the devil on their shoulder going, hey, get them. No, instead, they're people like you and I who just want you to partake in the things they're partaking in. And there seems to be no malice because in their mind there is no malice. They might be the softest, nicest, kindest people in the world who could lead you to things that will do serious damage. Even as we see those that are crooked on a higher level, all these people that make us promises to build economies and to help you in your work, or I've got a wonderful entrepreneurial opportunity. Man, I hate that phrase. There's been times in my life where I've looked for jobs, and you hear that all the time. We got a wonderful entrepreneurial opportunity for you, and I almost oh no, I don't like this at all. I'm gonna be in a four hour meeting where we all get hired. And now I'm selling like chocolates to my friends and family, man. It's not going to go well. There are promises made to us, and then we turn out to be the joke. We turn out to be the game. I had it was our gym teacher, as a matter of fact. The gym teacher, there was something that went on with the policy of our school, and for some reason they decided that he needed a class in order to still maintain. I can't get into all, I really don't remember all of it, but for whatever reason, in order for him to get paid, he had to teach a class. So he taught a class in biology, but one of the things that he did is he took a day just to teach us about certain things in life. We were 18 years old. And he nailed it right on the head. He goes, how many of you are starting to get credit card things in the mail? Rip them up and throw them away. They go, well, wait a minute, why? Everything that we know tells us to do that. He goes, because you're too young, and forgive me, you're too dumb to know what to do with them. throw them away. He was right. He was right. We had kids that by the time they had gotten their credit cards, they were already in trouble by the time they went off to college. They were already in trouble. Not they had them, not they had a lot of them. They had problems with them by the time they went off to college. He was right. But what does it come in? You're pre-approved. We like you very much. Please fill out this form. What's that? Oh, fantastic. Why don't you just come on out here? Oh, my brother got stuck with this one. Try not to laugh. My brother, he loved Honda Civics. Still does. Loves a Honda Civic. Why? I don't know. It is the most Magoo car out there, but he loved them. He'd take pictures of them. We'd be walking through. He'd see one down the aisle. We're walking up to a store. He'd go down there, take his picture at the back of one. Every now and then, I'd irritate him. I'd go up to the back of like a Dodge Caravan, like the vans we have now. I'd take a picture of me next to it. He goes, "That looks ridiculous." I go, "I know, we're twins. Silly." He walked out on one of those used, we'll take any credit kind of places. Oh, mercy. We did the math. He owed 2.5 what that car was by the end. Kid had no credit, barely had a job, and they saw him coming. And he goes, "No, the person was so nice and so sweet." Of course they were. Of course they were. The wolf always smiles at the piggy before he eats him. Always. Oh boy, look, what am I eating today? We must think on things that are what they seem and not things that have masks. Not things that come in disguise. Wisdom comes not from associating with foolishness, but in keeping in mind wisdom. Things that are venerable, we must contemplate honest things and stop entertaining silly things and people. We must pay attention instead to reality. Last week there was that great big fight, wasn't there? Oh man, they talked it up for years. We're going to bring Mike Tyson out of retirement. And we're going to get this YouTuber. And I'll be honest with you, as young as I am, I didn't quite understand why this guy was. I had to look into this guy. This guy was a buffoon. That was literally how he got famous. He'd go out on the internet and act like a buffoon. And all of a sudden, now he wants to put on gloves and he wants to fight. Folks, by the way, fighting is buffoonery. This, let me beat you in the face and then you beat me in the face. That's silly. Well, what are you trying to say? That is silly. But to bring a man so deep in retirement who's been living on a diet of mushrooms and marijuana and bring him to fight some punk kid and put it out there on a streaming service, if you didn't hear sucker across there, you got to turn your television up. I laughed the next morning when I saw the news reports that so many of the people that tuned in to watch, they didn't have the bandwidth. Like the thing kept crashing. Oh, look at this. Very serious. This very big deal. Everyone's talking about it. Isn't this wonderful? What was it in the end? It was a game of tag between a grandpa and his grandson is what it was. That you didn't even get to watch. If you paid for the service, you didn't even get to watch because they haven't quite figured that out yet. These are silly things. These are ridiculous things. And yet people take it to social media the next day. Oh, the paragon of wisdom this social media is. Oh, I can't believe blah, 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 and they cheated and they rigged it. Blah, blah, blah. Why? Aren't you glad you could breathe this morning? Aren't you glad you're not sick? Aren't you glad you're not in the hospital? Aren't you glad you're able to take the time out of work to grumble? Like some people, I'm like, don't you have a job? I got a text message from somebody. You see the fight last night? Oh, totally rigged. Blah, blah. I'm looking. You should be at work right now. I know where you work. You should be working. I don't even have a time clock. I'm working. What are you doing? Take our minds off of the silly, ridiculous things and put our eyes on things that matter. The next word that we see there, whatsoever things are just. The word just there meaning in righteous observance. In righteous observance. It is not just the young people that need to be careful with whom they look up to. That problem stays ours for the rest of our lives. Oh, so-and-so, they were so wonderful, they were so important. Why were they so wonderful or so important? Was it because they sounded good, looked good, or was it because they found themselves in every opportunity in observance to the Word of God? Those are my heroes. I spent this afternoon listening to sermons that Brother Ronnie Wolf preached. He was one of my favorite teachers of all times. I loved him because he had a humble spirit. I loved him because he had a bright mind. He was a good student and he was a good teacher. I've got books of his. I've got things that he has sent me over the years. And when he died, it busted me up. That was my Superman. And there's many other men just like him. Those are my heroes. When we look at, when we ponder things in our mind, when we consider things, those things ought to be things and people that are just. They're just. And of course, the list goes on. God, Christ, the heroes of the Bible, those that did well. We must ponder what they did. We must ponder how they did it. And we have to plan to do the same. That we ourselves in our deportment, in our behavior, would be just. Listen, if God did all that he did to save you, if God did all that he did to redeem your soul, what fairness is there for you to abandon him and live life as though he never did? We must be just in our behavior, and we must think on the things that are just. What would be right by God? What would be fair by God? When we are getting things, you know, I've got the kids there, and we're just doing things. I always have to sit there, and I got to measure everything just right. Xander and Caspian, if we're cutting pizza, right, we're making pizza, Xander and Caspian have to have close to the same size. Gideon and Melody have to have relatively close to the same size. Gideon gets a little bit more. You're always watching that. We want fair. We want good. We want just. Why? Because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. When we consider that openly, hey, if I'm going to do this, I must do this in a fair way. I must be right by people. The utmost highest thought in our decision making ought to be, is this right by God? Is what I'm doing good by God? If not, I have to let it go. If not, I cycle it back down the priority chain. Right? When we think, our thinking must be on things that are just. And not just thinking about them, but mirroring these things, applying them to our life, and putting them into our decision-making process. The next word we see there is pure. That word pure, sacred, free from carnality. How many of our thoughts are less than pure? And many of us, we would immediately say, all right, fornication and lust and things like that. Absolutely. You keep that stuff out of your mind. But anger isn't very pure. Grudges aren't very pure. Long memories and hurtful words, these are not pure. Thinking on sin, planning out sin, thinking about how you're going to get around getting caught in sin. These are not pure things. Instead, let us contemplate what is pure. And that comes down to what we put into our mind, because the more we put into our mind, either by listening or by looking, the more we put in there, the more likely impure things will come back out. This is not hard. We've studied this so many times. Where out of the abundance of your heart, so will those things come out your mouth. I know of a lady one time, she was asked to no longer participate working with kids in the church. The reason why is because every time a loud sound took place, she'd cuss. Thankfully, she didn't fight too hard on it. But the answer is simple. If you fill your ears with cussing, you become desensitized to it, And in the wrong moment, out it comes. If you use it on a regular basis, you're going to slip up in church. You keep what comes out of your mouth honorable to God. Which means the things I put into my heart and into my mind ought to be honorable to God. They must be pure. We don't need the blood and guts. We don't need the sensual things on the television. We do not need these things. What we need to have peace, what we need to have happy lives, is pure things. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are lovely. You know the difference between an ugly thought and a lovely thought? We should. Some people, you just see them, man, they sit in church and they're grumping about the car ride in. They're grumping about what's going to happen tomorrow. And just in their head, you can see the sourness on their face. Why? Because their thoughts, they're not lovely. They're grumpy. You know, and so often that happens. I've had to catch myself in doing that. I'll be here. I'll be doing something else. I'll come home and the house looks like I got four kids living in it. And I'll walk through the door and I don't like this and I don't like this and I don't like this and I don't like this. I had to retrain this brain. Don't come in like that. Start thinking some lovely thoughts before you get in there. All right? Because it's no way to greet your family. Folks, we must train our brain to think on the lovely things. Not that we ignore the bad things, but we think of lovely things. We got this chore chart, and in the chore chart is the wiping away of all the finger and, yes, nose prints on the glass in our fireplace. I don't know why there's fingerprints and nose prints all over that glass. It's dark in there. You're not going to see anything different than the last time you did that. And now it's not like the fire is on. And if the fire was on, I would beg you not to put your fingers and your nose up to that glass. Well, one of these days, that's going to be gone. One of these days, I'm going to come home and I'm going to find the house exactly as I left it that morning. And I'm not entirely sure it's going to be the prize I build it up to be in my mind today. Think on lovely things. Think on lovely things. We got a little girl who's been keeping us up. And by keeping us up, I mean right around 4 o'clock in the morning. She comes down. Wiggles into that bed. Mommy, I sleep with you. Then he goes, no, you can't sleep with us. No, you know the rules. You're not allowed to. Sure enough, somehow she finds herself tucked up into that bed. And there she is. And we've had that rule. We never allowed the kids to sleep into the bed. But every now and then we'd get one. Or we'd have one in the middle of the night work their way in. Used to be Xander. We haven't had Xander come visit us in the middle of the night in 3, maybe 4 years. We haven't seen Caspian in a good long time. Gideon just stopped trying right around a year after Melody was born. We must think on the lovely things. In time, the things we're grumpy about, they'll pass. You know, you see so many people that are upset about the election. We were upset about the election before the election. You see people upset after the election. You know what? If you don't like who's in the office, just wait. We'll get someone who will infuriate you even more in there next time. And that is true no matter how you vote. No matter what, the next person we put in there is going to be worse. I don't know if you've noticed a trend. But we keep picking some bad picks. Well, I'm grumpy about this. I'm grumpy about the governor. I'm grumpy about that. Hey, listen, we mark those individuals. We mark that pattern of behavior. But you don't let it have free space in your mind. If there's something you got to do, you do it. But you don't sit there and marinate in it. What is it that we're supposed to meditate on? The scripture. Meditate on God. Meditate on the lovely things. Meditate on the nice things. These are the things that we call lovely. Those things that are acceptable. Those things that are right. We must think on the lovely things. In this, we must also understand what 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says when it tells us to abstain from all appearance of evil. Because there are the lovely things, and then there are the evil things, and we must repel the evil things from our mind. Whether it is entertaining yourself through true crime, a love for things that are not so pure or clean, whatever it is, we must abstain from them, because what you put inside of you taints you, changes you, manipulates your thought processes. You must keep that just as clean as you would keep your kitchen clean. Anybody else doing that in preparation for Thanksgiving? Oh, you're scrubbing the pots down. You're cleaning everything up. Oh, we got to make it all right because I ain't cooking until it's clean. I got a dog, two cats, and four kids. I do not cook until I have cleaned that kitchen. I just don't do it. I don't want whatever would come out of those things that have just been said. No, we dust, we clean, we sweep, and then we cook. Why would we not do the same for our minds? We must think on the things that are lovely. We must think on the things that are of a good report. Things that check out. Things that work. Instead of our theories, instead of our guesses, instead of things that just should be right, we must think on things that are of a good report. Everything we see in the Bible for us to do, either we are trying to fix our lives or we are trying to build our lives, everything in there, people have tried and it has worked. Why? Because God don't guess. And God's not wrong. These things work. Instead, what we see so many people doing, and it's not just the young people, we got to stop blaming the young people, it is all the people. We look for something outside of the Bible that is true. That was Thomas Aquinas' big thing. Can we find truth outside of the Bible? Are there things not in the Bible that are true? And you know what? We get ourselves in trouble with that. So we sit there, we say, hey, listen, I understand that this is what God wants for me to do, but I'm really kind of stuck in my ways. My personal favorite. Old dogs you can't teach an old dog a new trick, right? Can't teach old dogs new tricks. And to which case I always reply, well, we're not dogs. And honestly, tricks are not that hard. They're not. I used to teach dogs tricks at PetSmart for a living. That was my job. You know what? Whether they're 15, whether they're 5 months, it's relatively easy to teach anything a new trick. But you're not a dog. You're a highly intelligent human being. You are a creation of God made in His own image. You are not limited. So what do? Lord, what is your way? What things do we know work? Instead of fantasizing and dreaming of things that we should not have, things that are treacherous or things that pull us away from where we should be thinking on things that are of a good report, things that we know to work. And we got to be careful with that phrase, things we know to work, because you can't try God's way for 30 seconds and then be like, oh, no peace, I'm going to keep. You got to give it time. It takes time, consistency. Remember, repentance isn't, you know, if I'm not supposed to do this, and here I am doing it, repentance isn't this. You know what I mean? Repentance isn't this. This is repentance. That's gone. I can't reach it from here. That's repentance. I have turned from it. I no longer am near it. It is against where my life is going. It is away from me. And that takes more than just a passive, well, I'll keep the materials on hand just in case this whole God thing don't work. No, you got to turn from it, leaving it in the dust. So we can't say, well, it didn't work for me. Well, maybe it didn't work for you because you didn't do it. Maybe it didn't work for you because you're not one of His. You need to be one of His and repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe that's why. But things, sometimes, as the Lord said, there are things that take prayer and fasting. We see also, if there be any virtue, If there's any moral goodness to it, think on that. Whose morals? God's morals. Man's morals are a shifty thing. They're a weird thing. I can't remember what country it was in. Oh man, I wish I would have wrote this down. But they came out with that report of all the useless spending. Not all of it, but just some highlights of the useless spending. Somewhere down in South America, we were paying, I think it was like $100,000 or something ridiculous like that, to put on drag shows down in another country. Anybody else mad at... Brother, I have to ask Brother Art when we're done. If it ever makes him angry that he's filing all those taxes for people, and some of that money's going down for drag shows in this other country. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think they're making up where that money's going. I think when you see something like that, that is some smart aleck who doesn't think anybody's checking. But anyway, that bothers me. What a silly thing. You know what? There's no virtue in that. There's no moral goodness, but in man, they say, well, that's a moral good. What a wonderful thing we're doing. Really? Of what value? What good is that doing to mankind? Even if you don't believe it's a sin, and it is, what good does it do for man other than entertain him? Might as well put on puppet shows. Instead of marinating in sinful entertainments, instead of marinating in the things, the crookedness of this world, the people you can't trust, instead of marinating your mind in that, we must instead turn our minds to the things that have virtue. I've met people where that's their day in and their day out. They grumble about every wrong thing ever done to them. They grumble about every wrong thing ever done around them. Just grump, 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 bite, bite, bite. Instead of taking and looking at the things of virtue and seeking to emulate virtuous things, they've ruined their mindset. They've ruined their day after day after day by looking at those things that have no virtue whatsoever. The next thing we see there is any praise. Is it commendable or worthy of praise? There are some things out there that are just, well, let's face it, they're not worth any praise. They're just not worth it. We used to have a big awards ceremony at the end of the year at work. And we would get everybody together and they would put a bunch of money and they would have a bunch of our vendors donate a bunch of money. And we'd have this big thing. And one of the things that they would do is if somebody had perfect attendance throughout the year, they would get a special reward for that. And they said, well, it's very important for us that people show up to work. So we like to reward the people that show up to work. Anybody here, you're of the opinion that if you have a job, you kind of need to work it? Especially at that time when I first got introduced to this thing that they were doing, where everybody comes up and they get certificates and we clap for them. Man, I ain't here for an award. I'm here because I can't pay the phone bill if I'm not. Particular time in my life, I was making $12.50 an hour. You know why I was at work? Because I needed hours. There's no praise in doing what is expected of you. There's no praise in doing the things that you should. Instead, we think on the things worthy of praise. Things that not only are worthy of praise, but something we can lift up and praise God with. Lord, thank you for that. You know, this sounds terrible, but I'm still kind of feeling good. I still don't feel sick. I praise God for that. Now, here's what I think. Here's my theory. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning, I'm not going to feel good. I think God's like, all right, let's get him to Monday, and then it's his turn. Now, my prayer is this. I just don't get it. But even something ridiculous and small like that, you can lift that up and you can praise God. Lord, I feel pretty good. Well, Lord, you see this thing that happened? Amen. As Brother Dennis always says, thank you, Jesus. I wish we all had that better habit of being able to sit there and see something like that, see anything in our life, and be able to lift it up and praise God, and that we would think on those things on a regular basis. Hey, remember this morning when I reached into my pocket after pulling my pants out of the dryer, and I pulled my pants out, and I reached into my pocket, I found $5. Thank you, Jesus. Well, don't you feel silly that it was your $5 to begin with? Still, though, didn't know it was there. Got it now. Yeah, hey, I was able to get into work early today. I was able to get this done today. Hey, I set a new record at this today. Whatever. Thank you, Lord. If there be any praise, we think on those things. And we need to think about the things worthy of praise, particularly things that we can lift up and praise God for. My, oh my, if we just listen to what that song said and we learn to count our blessings, we'd be so much happier. And if we do these things, if that is where our mind is, what is the promise? If there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And the God of peace shall be with you. Again, we find ourselves in a very easily diagnosable situation. You got peace? No. Well, tell me what you've been thinking about. Well, I got this coworker I don't like, and my shoes, they're not comfortable anymore, and there's this squirrel that sits above my car and that keeps dropping nuts down there, and oh man, I went to go clean out my gutters, right? Fall. I always do it one last time. You get up there and you found a squirrel had gotten in there, started putting a bunch of the acorns up in my gutter. I've got that little thing that goes across it. Pulled it back in an area, started storing acorns in there. Well, that's why you're grumpy. The only thing in your mind is evil, sin, hatred, anger. Of course you've got no peace. You got your hand too close to the fire, my friend. You handle the things you can handle. You fix the things you can fix. But overwhelmingly in the mind, you ought to be counting your blessings. You ought to be pondering deeply on the good things. Because I'll tell you this, we only get one shot at this. We don't get a second go around where we get to have learned everything the first go, and then we get to have a better life the second go. This is it. And we don't know how much time is left on the clock. Not for any one of us. If we knew today that the end of the world was coming in 700 years, it wouldn't matter if a car crash took you out on Friday. We don't know how much time we got. Be as happy as you can. Be as peaceful as you can. And putting these things in your mind, keeping them the centralized focus, that's going to go a long way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you because keeping these things on our attention can be very difficult. But Lord, we are grateful that you're faithful to teach us. You're faithful to remind us. Oh Lord, we desperately need your help. So, Father, I ask that you help us to put away the bad things, the sinful things, and, Father, focus on the things of value, things that you value, things that belong to you. Lord, not just that we would have peace, but that we would be better to obey you, and that, Lord, we would be better examples of your people. For its name in Jesus we pray, amen.